was operating on me. So, you know, I want that boy paying attention. And I don't want him worried about his financial problem. You know, if I live in an $80,000 house and my doctor lives in a $2 million mansion, that's all right with me. You know, I'm trusting the guy with my body. I don't want... Now, there's some doctors, there are some ways for doctors to get their school paid for if they do, like, X amount of years of service somewhere. But all I know is I grew up in the house of an electrician, and I've been to the houses of doctors. And if the doctors are making more than electricians are, the doctors are investing a lot more wisely. But I don't know all the factors there. But all I know is Hillary Clinton is not my friend. Okay. With my dad, he was just real hard working, and just enough money coming in to take care of, you know, a family of six. But he was actually making good money back then. But what's that?
They don't have time
to struggle. The doctors have some fuller families. Hey, I saw this one doctor. I'm getting way off the subject, but I'm a teacher. I can do that. I saw this one doctor on a program, a young black doctor. He was a young guy, too. And after he finished up his medical schooling as a full-time doctor, he got a three-year Master of Divinity degree from, like, an Ivy League school, and just accepted the pastorate of some church. So he's a full-time doctor, single guy, obviously, full-time doctor, and then he pastors this huge church. But I don't know if they don't have that. I'm not even sure if they paid him, though, to be a pastor, if he just took it for the parsonage. And so then he walks into the parsonage, and him and his mother and father are talking about all the repairs he has to make. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. This guy's a doctor, so he's working, like, on the average 80 to 100 hours a week. Then he pastors a church, and now he's like a workaholic, and now he's looking at all these neat projects around the house. I can't even work around the house with just the two little jobs I have, but yeah, every once in a while you get a guy who just... I don't know, maybe he just doesn't sleep or something, but... This guy was sharp, too. He was... Channeling is just voluntary demonic possession where the person allows themselves to be possessed by a spirit entity who then speaks through them. 95% of the time, I think it's just a con artist ripping people off. But it does appear that sometimes these people really are being demon possessed. And now they would view it as, like, you know, Jay-Z Knight and Rantha, a 35,000-year-old warrior. No, it's a demon who's a lot older than that. Let's just move on from New Age practices to New Age beliefs. Pantheism, the idea that God is the universe and God is impersonal force. One of the major problems with pantheism is it's the belief that everything is one mind, one being. So when a pantheist is trying to convert you, it's like, you know, one mind trying to convince another mind that only one mind exists. So it's self-refuting right at the start. Self-deification, the view that man is God. Obviously the scriptures teach God. Man is not God. God created the universe. God created man. It's a lie from Satan in the garden. New Agers believe in reincarnation, that the soul passes through the cycle of death and rebirth. It's incarnated in many different bodies. We really don't have time to get into it, but in most cases, where people claim to remember past lives, it's just a creative imagination. But every once in a while, even on Unsolved Mysteries, I've seen cases where something supernatural is going on, where somebody came up with some information that there was no way for them to find it, find that information, and through natural means. And so I do think that there are times that demons, a demon that may be possessed or harassed some guy in the past, will then mess with some New Ager today and convince the New Ager that he or she is the reincarnation of that person from the past and give them information that only that person from the past would have known. And there was a guy that died on a naval ship that was bombed and sunk, and this person claimed to be the reincarnation of that person and had all sorts of information that even the experts on it didn't know. And they had to do some extra research, and years later they started finding out that all these little details were in fact true. And so in those cases, I would just see it as the only way I think we can explain it biblically would be that it was a case of demon possession. Illusionism, the New Age belief that the world is an illusion. Remember, there's a lot of Bainbridge Island New Agers. They love their BMWs too much to deny its existence. So there are a lot of Western pantheists that are rejecting this idea of illusionism and that the physical world isn't really an illusion. It's real, and there's a big emphasis on evolution. But no, not just the world and mankind are evolving, but we're evolving into a newer age. It's like a spiritual evolution as well as a physical evolution. New Age relativism, the idea that there's no absolute truth. Remember the statement, there is no absolute truth. The only way for it to be true would be if it's an absolute truth. So it's self-refuting. So absolute truth must exist. And the rejection of absolute moral laws. For people who claim that there's no such thing ultimately as right and wrong, to then protest and to try to straighten out the world and to try to keep these intolerant Christians from forcing their views down people's throats in the public schools and stuff like that, they're living like moral, like they believe in moral absolutes. Again, it comes down to a moral relativist says, look, you are wrong to call my actions wrong because there's no such thing as wrong. And again, even moral relativism, no one can live consistently with it. Globalism, they believe in a coming one world government, and they want this one world government. You know, it's the belief monism, that all reality is one. They believe that we've got to get beyond all distinctions and just get back to the oneness of everything, including the world and the government. Syncretistic, which means they'll bring in ideas from other religions into New Age thought. They're religious pluralist. They believe that all religions lead to God, or all religions lead to salvation. They want all religions to unite. So they not only want a one-world government, but they want a one-world religion as well. Anytime somebody, by the way, tells you all religions lead to God, what they're really saying is, you know, all religions teach truth, all faiths are true. What they're really saying is Christianity is false. In fact, what they're saying is Christianity, traditional Christianity, traditional Islam, and traditional Judaism are all false.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they all get to God just to be for the great white throne judgment. Yeah, that's about it. And so they want not only a one world government but a one world religion. By the way, this is being worked on by Robert Mueller, former Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations, and Bishop Swing, an Episcopal bishop. It's the United Religions Initiative. And they're trying to bring about in the next few years a United Religions Organization, URO, which they want to be, for the religious side, the equivalent of what the United Nations is for governments. They want the United Religions Organization to be for religion. So we are moving towards a one world government and towards a one world religion, and the New Agers have their hands all over this. I would not say that New Agers are calling the shots. I think New Agers are being used by other globalists who are just in it for the power. Although there are some very powerful globalists who are starting to go the New Age route. And just like the ancient Caesars, you know, when they have all these myths, they didn't believe in the myths, but they knew, well, if the people believe in the myths, if I can encourage the people to believe in the myths, it'll be easier to enslave them. Then they came up with the myth that Caesar is God. Well, Caesar didn't really believe he was God, but if I can get the people to believe, it'll be easier to control them. But then eventually, some of the Caesars started liking the idea. And so it's the same way with tyrants. Not all tyrants believe they're God. But as absolute power begins to corrupt them absolutely, the temptation to believe that they're God becomes stronger and stronger. Then of course, to be a New Age, you got to believe in a coming age, a new age of global peace and enlightenment. Of course, the idea that Christians get in the way and therefore need to be either re-educated, you know, possibly in concentration camps, or be removed. But a coming age of global peace and enlightenment. We talked about channeling and Eastern meditation. Eastern meditation, again, the problem with Eastern meditation is an emptying of one's mind in an attempt to unite with God or the world soul, the impersonal God. God wants us to love Him with all our minds. God says, come let us reason together. God doesn't want us to disengage our minds from rational thought. And when we surrender the control of our mind, whether it's through alcohol abuse, drug abuse, or Eastern meditation, when we surrender the control of our minds, we're opening ourselves up to demonic influence. Especially, you know, if we're involved in other occultic practices, we're already opening many doors to the world of the occult, the demonic realm, and then to surrender the control of your mind, you're just begging to be demon-possessed. Also, by the way, the UFO movement today is merging with the New Age movement. Again, probably 95% of the time with UFO sightings, UFO abduction cases, it's just too much pepperoni pizza the night before. You know, the guy's got indigestion. Thought he saw a vision, but there's those 5% of the cases where there are things we can't explain, like the movement of UFOs when they're picked up on radar screens, making turns at a 90-degree angle at speeds of over 1,000 miles an hour, things that violate the laws of physics, beings that appear material but then can dematerialize at will. And then lo and behold, the message of these supposed aliens is the same as the New Age message. After you die, a better life begins. Jesus was just one of many manifestations of God. We're all saved. William Alnor wrote a book, and it was endorsed by the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hennegraaff, called UFOs and the New Age. William Alnor, A-L-N-O-R, and that's probably the most scholarly book written on the subject. and how you can see that UFO fanaticism and New Age thinking are kind of blending together to form quite possibly a whole new religion. But besides these problems of the New Age movement, the New Age movement denies essential Christian beliefs. They deny that Jesus is God. They teach that he's just one of you know, they deny that he's uniquely God. They believe he's God in the sense that everybody is God. And so he's one of several manifestations of God. He isn't Savior. He didn't die for our sins. Man is already saved. Man is God. Sin and hell are illusions. They deny the Trinity, that God is three persons. They deny that Jesus is God. They deny that Jesus bodily rose from the dead. There may be some New Agers that might acknowledge Christ's resurrection from the dead, but it would be, you know, they would just still view Jesus as one of many manifestations of God, a great guru, but not God himself and the only begotten Son of the Father. Next week we'll look at modernism, so we'll kind of step back, because modernism is very close to secular humanism, to better understand postmodernism, which is the reaction against modernism, or quite possibly the next stage in modernism. But whatever the case, so we'll be looking at modernism and postmodernism next week. If you want to start, the exams are open book. If you want to just start working on that and work on your papers and stuff like that, well, that's right, next, it's 2 weeks from now, so we've got a two-week break before we get together again. But that's all we've got to cover, is the modernism and postmodernism. Then I'd like to one more time go over Sayers, the diagram I made from Sayers' work, the historical stages of the different worldviews. So we'll pick that up 2 weeks from tonight. So if you show up this next Tuesday, then just go over to Dairy Queen, get yourself a burger.
Seems like the New Agers are like the furthest from any kind of solid knowledge of any of. I mean, they're kind of a bunch of clowns.
New Agers are. There's a de-emphasis on reason. What's that?
New Agers. Are they kind
of. They're probably, it's probably the world's fastest growing religion, mainly because they don't. So you could have a New Ager living on one side of your house and on another side of your house, and they're both New Agers, but neither one of them has even heard the term New Age. They don't believe they're New Age, and they don't, like, you know, this guy's an astrologer, and this other guy is Wiccan. So they don't even consider themselves part of the same thing. So New Agers often don't even realize how big this movement is. I mean, the leaders realize it, but as far as being like foolish, you will have some intellectual New Agers, which is almost a contradiction in terms. But most New Agers pride themselves on being irrational or at least non-rational. And but I would say this now. This is kind of like the newest religious fad, but the newest philosophical fad is postmodernism. And what we're going to see next week is that understanding what postmodernism is, it's got to give, it's got to go somewhere, and the direction I think it's most likely to go, and I think Sayer alludes to that in his work as well, is New Age pantheism.
Simpsons, of all shows.
Very
intellectual show. Absolutely. They were addressing postmodernism, and Homer goes, "What's postmodernism?" And he goes, "Being weird for the sake of being weird." And it was like, that's absolutely what it is. You know, yeah. Oh, we're weird, but we like to be weird.
Yeah, I had one teacher at the Institute. He teaches in upstate New York, and a guy, I helped get him a job at Liberty University, and I think he ticked off Falwell over there, but he ended up with a nice job in upstate New York. But this guy was like a Simpsons fanatic. And he was just, he taught, even when he taught world religions, he taught some Greek courses, and spent most of his time just dealing with the Simpsons and stuff.
The relationship, the theological value of no, the Simpsons.
The longest running mainstream cartoon, like primetime cartoon ever.
By the way, you know, because I was thinking about that, how you can look at that and do a critique of culture and all from something like that. But I told you that Road to Perdition was a pretty good movie, but there's some like theological themes that run right in the title. It's pretty obvious, but sometimes in postmodernism, you get more of an open door. You're more likely to get an open door with a modernist as he's into narratives and stories. If you were to either read secular literature and dialogue about it and find a way that it overlaps with spiritual truth, and then you bring the gospel in the back door, or if you did that through film and stuff. So a lot of guys minister to postmodernists, they spend more time talking about the Matrix than they do the gospel, but they find there's an area, you know, kind of a launch pad for theological discussion. And so maybe we Christians might need to look a little bit more into films that are coming out. You got to be careful, because some of the stuff that's coming out is just plain garbage, and you know, it's just an outright sin to go and see some of the movies that are coming out. But maybe we need to watch some of these movies, and if we see in the movie that it's telling us either where culture is coming from or where culture is going, and then sometimes it's just like culture's cry for the transcendent. And, you know, it may be a way to open the door to discussing the gospel with somebody. So it's getting tougher. We've got to be getting more creative to find common ground. And you mentioned how foolish New Agers seem. Well, that's because they've thrown reason out the window. When you throw truth and reason out the window, the common ground that we Christians have with these people is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. And
I think that's why they've done it, though, perhaps, a little bit?
Not so much why they've done it, but it may be why Satan has steered them in that direction. Yeah. If he can, you could end up in a situation where, I mean, with a postmodernist, you try to show a guy that God exists, and he doesn't even think absolute truth exists. So it's like, you know, you might have to spend 2 months convincing him that there is absolute truth before you can even get an open door to dialogue on some of the more important issues.
My father-in-law just got in my face and told me, how...